You're listening to the Legion of Reason.
Okay, this is the Legion of Reason diversion for Sunday, July 23rd, 2017. We have another potpourri episode coming up. What the heck did I actually put on here? There was a bunch of topics. Now my stupid feed won't come up.
Oh.
Do you want them in order?
No, it doesn't have to be in order. Don't send it to me. I'll just read it off what I got here, sent you guys.
Okay.
I finally get on here. Okay, here we go. So topics today include, I guess this one would have to be up there in the regressive left files. Richard Dawkins has been deplatformed from Berkeley because of speech that the sponsor felt was hurtful to Muslims. Aw. Yeah, can I get a collective aw?
Aw.
Aw.
Another regressive annual. another part of the regressive left files. Dan Earle's journey to demented delusion takes him beyond C.J. Werlemann into unexplored territories of nuthattery. And a new article claiming that so-called new atheists are actually white nationalists. Death threats are the norm du jour for a new liberal mosque in Berlin. In Britain, the National Health Service there makes plans to scrap coverage of useless homeopathic prescriptions. I hear tell that Prince Charles is on suicide watch.
Maybe he should take a homeopathic overdose on homeopathic sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking a homeopathic antidepressant.
Or whichever. Same effect. The Women's March organizers wish terrorist Asada Shakur a happy birthday. Oh, isn't that sweet? Yeah. And in Catholic Watch, a new report claims that 547 children were physically abused. I think 87 of them were sexually abused at a Catholic school as a choir school, of all things. Regensburger Domspatzen in Bavaria, as well as a pair of officials at a children's hospital in Italy. They will be in a Vatican court as defendants on charges of embezzling donated funds to finance the renovation of a senior cardinal's apartment. Huh. Interesting. And the new Doctor Who. Yes, the new Doctor Who has changed genders, and not all fans are pleased. And we'll finish off with, of course, Hello Thaler from Ken Ham's. He's trying to take back the rainbow from those nasty gay people. By lighting it up in rainbow colors. It's pretty funny, actually. It ain't working, Ken. It ain't working. So that's what we got on the menu tonight. And I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to talk about, but.
That sounds quite a bit.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What do we start with first? What do
you about the rainbows? I have a question on that. Does he think the gay people will just stop using them?
I have a soundbite for that. Let's put that right now.
Is this some kind of pirate school?
Well, a certain kind of pirate. Yes, we've been called that.
Of course, that's from Family Guy. that was the first thing I thought of when I saw the rainbow lit up arc.
It's like, no, the arc's lit up. We can't use it any. Like, what the hell?
No, they're trying to take back the rainbow as a symbol. That's God's symbol. It's not physics at all, but it's God's symbol for he's never going to drown people again. That's a lovely bedtime story. I mean, I would love to read that to children and act out the parts of people drowning, the children drowning, the babies drowning. It's just a sweet, sweet story. Wonderful it's all about the rainbow, right? The rainbow wins in the end. If humanity is destroyed, it's not a good story. It's not a good story. It's not something I look up to.
So genocide's he's saying there won't be a global flood again, but who cares about all the people that drown?
Flood.
Like that guy who just drowned. Those kids watched that guy drown.
Oh yeah, on that trip, there was a a school trip, and they were out canoeing. They weren't canoeing. They were camping out in... Where was that anyway? In Ontario, was it? I think it was Ontario.
One of the students drowned.
There's those boys that watched that man drown in the States too. They filmed him drowning and laughed and didn't tell, tell anyone. And then they
posted it on Facebook. That's brilliant.
Yeah, but the family didn't know for 5 days the guy was dead.
Oh my goodness!
5 days, like he drowned on the 9th. The family put out a missing persons report on the 12th, and they found the body on the 14th.
It's like those Antifa terrorists at the G20 summit? Was it G20?
G20.
Yeah, and this one guy taking a selfie, and you know, after this bunch of people behind him are lighting something on fire, and just it just says everything about that generation that is wrong with it. Yeah. So anyway, So Ken Ham, saluting you to, you know, way to stick up for LGBT, even though that's exactly what you were trying intent. To do.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's like go ahead, keep doing it, but you know what? Other people can share even though you don't want to.
Yeah. No, you know, don't forget that woman who was complaining about putting rainbows in the water. What are they putting in our water?
Oh, right. She was mentally ill, though.
Either that or just really, really stupid.
There's other videos that people have shown where she's clearly very paranoid and very mentally ill.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, there's... I think she must have been living in a trailer park, too. It's just got trailer park all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we're not being kind, but hey. Oh, well.
Well, she's probably on some sort of Asia, what they'd call Asian Canada anyway. She's probably on some kind of, you know, living aid, or living with somebody. Who knows?
Yeah.
When you're mentally ill, it's hard to work when you're trying to tell everybody's out to get you, so.
You're paranoid, schizophrenic, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. She seemed very exorbitantly paranoid. Paranoid about a great deal of things in her videos. Yeah. When she saw rainbows, she probably honestly thought it was poison of some sort.
Somebody's out to get her.
Oh, yeah.
It's sad.
They're putting her in there. Yeah. Water's getting poisoned, everybody. Kind of sad. But yeah, no, Ken, if you want to borrow the rainbow, that's what you'll be doing. I'm sorry. You can't take it back, but other people can share.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. But it was never God's to begin with. It's just an explanation for rainbows, you know, or a nice little add-on to a story. But it's physics.
Rainbows are different colors. It's diversity. I mean, I don't know what he thinks diversity is, but obviously he wants to steal the rainbows back to not represent anything.
Well, his version of diversity is young Earth creationist and, you know, people that are like 10,000-year-old Earth. That's diversity in his book.
And did he not sell this ark back to his ministry for like $10?
I thought so.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear about that.
He sold it for $10. Now he won't have to pay any taxes.
After Kentucky's, you know, supported that initiative or whatever as a theme park. Yeah. So just like totally screwing the taxpayers. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think they should turn it into a giant grow up and dispensary and casino and gay club and, you know.
I think it should be a gay nightclub. I would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd go for that.
But a dispensary would bring the tax dollars back to the people.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of disappointment from the community that, you know, they were promised economic benefits and it never materialized. No surprise. Yeah. Right.
Now he's just totally throwing, you know, the people who supported him or whatever, totally under the bus.
Yeah.
Not necessarily supported him willingly, might I add, but, you know, taxpayers. Yeah.
Cool.
That was a Trump move, I guess.
Wow.
Sort of. Not quite, but
promising
selling yourself your
returns.
Property back. Selling yourself your property back for nothing.
Yeah. Or claiming bankruptcy and then starting up another business a day later. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same business. That's a lot in Alberta, too.
I think Ken Ham is even slimier than Trump. I'm not sure. That's a tough one.
No, like, you'd have to write down how many lies one have told and that might be quite the and yeah, with the tax evasion, it's pretty equal there. And the ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On top of the dishonesty. Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Well, should we move on?
Sure.
Where do we want to go from here? Where would you like to go to? Doesn't matter to you. Okay, well, I've got... You want to go to Doctor Who? Okay.
Sure,
Doctor
Who. I'm just reading off my paper here. So.
Yeah, well, of course, the new Doctor Who has been announced, and it is the first woman Doctor Who, and there's been a lot of wheeling and gnashing of teeth. And there's only one reason I bring this up, and it's because there's an overarching narrative that it goes right to why Trump got elected. And everybody who is hearing the wailing and gnashing of teeth of people who think that Doctor Who should not be a woman is automatically going to, oh, they're misogynists. Hey, don't do that. Do not do that. That is not why they're doing it. They're doing it because they are passionate about the canon of the Doctor Who canon.
Yeah, but the canon says that she it can be either gender, because I don't know, and I don't
only
watch Doctor Who.
It's an alien creature. Only if.
So it's really, is it really any gender?
Well, but only if the character is okay with it, and it's been shown in the past that the character, Doctor Who character, has not been okay with changing gender. Okay. BBC has been in this kind of diversity mode for a while now. And when you try to shoehorn things in to create, to force diversity in, the story suffers. What they should have done is, you know, there's more than one Time Lord. Why not go with another Time Lord? Just, you know, another brand within the same franchise, right? Create a, not Doctor Who, but Doctor, I don't know, whatever, a female, the feminine version of who is, whoette, I don't know. You know, but why not that? I'm not opposed to it, and I'm not even opposed to the Doctor Who becoming a woman in this way. But the thing is, doing that, they should have known that it would be controversial. It would be like,
which they're probably expecting.
It would be like James Bond. Well, yeah, that could very well be. They're getting notoriety.
Maybe they'll address those issues with the Doctor having issues with being an alien man or alien woman.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I have a feeling that what they've been doing for a while now is really jamming in diversity. Like, I mean, the current... I stopped watching before this current Doctor Who's sidekick came on. And this one is a... the diversity trifecta, right? Woman, lesbian, and a woman of color. So there's the trifecta. And,
People are complaining that she's not black, too.
Well, they're also complaining that she's not much of a character. And that's what happens when you do this kind of thing. You force something. It's not organic. The story suffers. So, you know, but that's just my two cents. But it's the same kind of thing where people are saying, oh, they're just misogynists. It's the same thing that happened in the election, in the American election, where people, oh, those people have voted for Trump. They're just bigots and misogynists. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, but all of them. Even the women who said, well, women are too emotional to be president. There were women that actually said that. In fact, someone I work with said women should not be prime ministers or you know, leaders of provinces.
I'll just show them
and
Maggie Thatcher.
I work with her.
Maggie Thatcher was one hell of a... You might say what you will about Maggie Thatcher, but she was a very strong woman.
And Redford.
She's hold up Redford as a paragon of.
That's what she's doing. She said.
I mean,
my coworker said that this is why women shouldn't be leaders of provinces.
Yeah, wow. I wouldn't hold.
As if Redford's typical.
She was a bit now. Granted, but she was holding up as an example of she was what's her first name?
Allison.
Allison Redford. Yeah, she was a bit. I'm amazed she stayed out of handcuffs.
Jail? Yeah. For what she did. Yeah.
She was
particularly corrupt, too. And any man is. But you know what my coworker said?
Yeah.
They're only bitching about it because she's a woman, not because she's corrupt.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, look what happened.
I know. Exactly.
Look what happened in Saskatchewan with the, was it 12 of Grant Devine's government, cabinet ministers, ended up in prison for misappropriation of public funds.
Instead, maybe they didn't put her in jail because she was a woman. Instead, she was saying they were bitching about her because she was a woman. If a man did that, they wouldn't have complained.
There's lots of complaints about her. They have nothing to do with her being a woman. That's just
exactly.
Yeah, it's just that she was just a rotten leader. She was a rotten prime minister. I mean, there have been lots of rotten prime ministers. So, or premiers, excuse me.
Premiers, and holding up this one woman example is why women shouldn't be premiers.
They're
just boggled by mom.
There are examples of very good women leaders.
Notley.
Notley's one. She's a very intelligent woman.
Her dad was wonderful. She's like, to hold up one person as an example of a gender, to me, boggles my mind to this day. Yeah,
false.
That's
a logical fallacy. It's called falsum in uno, falsum in omnibus.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not true. Yeah, it's baloney.
Yeah, this Doctor Who switch up. I don't know enough about the character or the show to even really have an opinion, so I've stayed out of it.
There's been talk of that happening in James Bond.
What?
And I think that's a huge mistake.
That'd be hilarious if she was he's kind of a womanizer, and then she would be the one that uses men. That'd be so funny.
No one's going to go see that. No one's going to go see that.
Oh, really?
No.
Why?
No one's going to go see that. Trust me. They didn't go see Ghostbusters, right? You know why? Because it was a crappy movie.
But that's just one. Again, that's just one example, right?
But that's an excellent example of shoehorning in an ideology, basically contriving a story because of ideology. And that you can't do. If it's not organic, don't bother. It won't be.
I tried watching Ghostbusters again. It was too cheesy for me, so I didn't think the female version would be any better.
Doctor Who?
Ghostbusters. I didn't like Ghostbusters as Ghostbusters,
just go back there. You didn't like Ghostbusters, like the original.
It was too cheesy for me. I liked it as a kid, but as an adult, I'm just like, oh God.
American humor. Like slapstick.
What do you mean American humor? That was written by Harold Ramis. Harold's Canadian. That's as Canadian as a movie can get.
Whatever. It's that American,
the only American,
American
actor.
Brand of humor.
The only American actor in there that, Sigourney Weaver Bill Murray. I mean, that was it.
And Sigourney was such
Canadian.
A weasel character too in that. I was like,
I thought it was hilarious. I love that movie.
I haven't seen it for many years.
And one of the reasons
I just remember not being impressed, you know.
Like, oh really?
Yeah,
you didn't like Caddyshack either,
great.
I suppose.
It was just funny humor. It's a comedy like that. The cheesy comedies are not my favorite. I went back and watched MacGyver as a kid. That I loved MacGyver. I tried to watch an old episode a few years ago, and I was like, "Oh, it's so cheesy."
Yeah, well, that's what happens with it. It's like going back and watching Gilligan's Island. It's just like you can't. I can't do it.
I hated that show.
I was a kid when I. Oh, really? You made it odd?
I'd
watch anything that was put in front of me when I was a kid, so.
Well, there wasn't much of a choice. There was only a few channels back then.
I had three channels I had a choice of, and one of them was French. So.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm showing my age.
All of us are.
Yeah. Well, I lived on the farm.
No, I didn't have a TV till I was 13, and it was like Different Strokes and Three's Company.
Okay, I still watch that.
Yeah, well, I really hated that Chrissy character.
It's on CMT. It's on Country Music Television. I still watch it.
Well, Chrissy.
It's so formulaic.
Made me embarrassed to be blonde.
I would think so, yeah. It didn't get much better. I got a little better with some of the other, her descendants.
It's gone.
Yeah.
But they still tried making them into dippy doo-doos a little bit, but. It's terrible. I like Jack. That was the only character I liked.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course, that's why Jack Ritter went on as a star until he died.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see what happens. You know, the other thing I want to bring up is, everybody's all about, upset about, everybody thinks that people are being upset because Doctor Who's becoming a woman. What they're really upset about is the canon. the changing of the canon.
Well, no, I think artificially. Some of them are a bunch of misogynists. They're, just, okay, oh, it's a woman, and they just react,
sure.
right?
Yeah,
I think a lot of it is.
They're a minor yeah. component. I don't believe that those are the majority. But
I don't know.
I mean,
sometimes, but
Star
but
Trek
again, the
did
minor,
it.
Minor components are often the most vocal. Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
sure, fine. Yeah. But that doesn't make them any more popular. Their demographics what aren't mean? Any larger just because their voices are louder. They are what they are. But Star Trek did it ages ago with Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, everybody.
And you,
nobody
like
cares
Janeway.
As long as it's a good. Yeah, I like Janeway too. Nobody cares as long as it's a good story and it's organically. I hate using that word, but in this context, it actually works.
Yeah.
It's no, organic. It comes from the bottom up, as opposed to some idiot up in the 30th floor of BBC headquarters saying we must have diversity, and then saying to the writers, okay, you've got to force this stuff in. That doesn't work.
It could be a super interesting storyline, though, right?
It could
be fun.
And why?
It yeah. could, but why I think it's too late. I think they.
To me,
yeah, they're
since, the and then if the canon kind of permits it, then you know how they treat it is going to be.
It's arguable. It's arguable whether it does or not. And there's a lot of people who don't.
I have no dog in the race. I just so don't give a.
But a lot of people who don't have a dog in the race are all up in arms at these people.
Yeah.
When they don't have a vested interest themselves.
You know, I got to roll my eyes when that's misogynist. Oh, it's a woman.
Exactly. It's more of this. It's more of this throwing out these pejoratives and watering down their meaning and doing real harm. Right. Real misogyny is out there, you know.
For sure.
If somebody calls me Islamophobe, I don't care because I know where they're coming from, and I can ignore them. They're irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking of Islamophobia. I guess we could probably seg into. Let's go into the regressive left files.
The regressive left files.
Okay, regressive left files. Our first story, of course, is the deplatforming of Richard Dawkins. I'm taking this from Why Evolution is True, which is Jerry Coyne's blog. Richard Dawkins was supposed to speak at an event in Berkeley on August 9th, a talk about his new book, Science in the Soul, Selected Writings of a Passionate Atheist. Didn't he write something similar? A couple of years ago. Interesting. Anyway, it was canceled, of course, and you can guess why. It was originally sponsored by Berkeley radio station, KPFA, and they made an announcement, but didn't even bother to inform Richard before canceling it. And they just sent a message through the ticketing agency. It's called Brown Paper Tickets. And here's the email that they said. Dear Richard Dawkins event ticket buyers, and not even dear Richard Dawkins, we regret to inform you that KPFA has canceled our event with Richard Dawkins. We had booked this event based entirely on his excellent new book on science when we didn't know he had offended and hurt. Oh, can we get a collective awe? In his tweets and other comments on Islam, so many people. What? That isn't even English. Jeez.
I know. What are they saying?
He had offended and hurt in his tweets and other comments on Islam so many people.
Oh, that's...
It's bad punctuation.
That is really, really, really horrible.
That last comma should be a dash.
Yeah, anyway. KPFA does not endorse hurtful speech, while KPFA emphatically supports serious free speech. I mean, what does that mean? We do not support abusive speech. We apologize for not having had broader knowledge of Dawkins' views much earlier. We also apologize to all those inconvenienced by this cancellation. Your ticket purchases will automatically be refunded by Brown Paper Tickets. They should actually have a brown paper bag for their heads for this. Sincerely, KPFA Radio 94.1 FM. Yeah.
When was that supposed to take place?
August 9th.
August 9th. Okay. So like travel plans have been made and, scheduling blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Wow. That's so unprofessional. Not to mention, like you said, regressive and this emphatically supports serious free speech.
And what is that?
Does that mean that comedians aren't allowed to talk?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I suppose.
Jesus.
I'm not always
political
serious.
Commentary like Bill Maher, something like that. Like probably.
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't invite Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Does anyone have an example of one of his hate tweets?
No.
I can't find one.
Well, you can't.
No,
you're not
they're
find
not
one.
Hateful they don't so exist. Much as a little naive, right? Like,
if anything, sometimes it didn't. When he went after Rebecca, he actually defended Islam, saying, "Well, look, these people get seriously hurt by their religion, and worried about some guy
He defended Muslims. He didn't defend Islam.
So, yeah. So in some, it's not okay to talk about. It's not okay to defend Muslims, but it is okay to defend Muslims. But it's like when the biggest point here is you can actually talk about religion and how it hurts people versus, you know, hating on the actual people like Muslims.
Not according
to these
people.
So they don't make that. Yeah, exactly. They don't make that distinction, and it's
no, they don't.
Which is going to become very clear in our next segment.
Yeah,
yeah, and people are like, people are saying, stop defending him. Well, no one's defending him per se for the fact that A, he has the right to free speech. B, he hasn't gone after Muslims. He's gone after a religion. So would it be okay to go after Christianity then in this case, or? Is this some regressive left double standard?
Yeah, you can go after Christianity. You just don't touch Islam, which is really weird to me. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't know where that's coming from. I think it comes from this deep-seated need to not be seen as racist.
But you're not racist if you're talking about a religion.
I never said it was logical. I just said it was a deep-seated need.
That's a tactic. That's a tactic is to conflate the language, right?
Yeah.
That's why the word Islamophobia was...
Yeah, it's a contrived word. It's there to shut down any criticism of the tenets of Islam, and what do you say? Mm-hmm. You know, these people
so
do not understand
this radio station. Yeah,
yeah. Don't listen to this radio station, KPFA.
I wrote a letter, a very short one.
Yeah, you did. Read it. You know, I remember, I saw it.
I can't remember exactly what I said, but I put in the subject line like something like shame on you for counseling Dawkins. And I said something in the, you know, body of the text, like, I'm sure you've heard a lot about this. I hope you pay attention, you know.
Yeah.
Pay attention to this.
To the criticism. Yeah. That's
so
crazy.
We're not here defending Dawkins and everything he's ever done.
No.
Like attack Watson or anyone else.
No, because
else.
We don't always agree really with everything he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we are... making this distinction as to why what this radio station did was completely unprofessional and rather unfounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I will defend Richard Dawkins. He's said a lot of really interesting and profound things. And if he said a couple of silly tweets along the way, we all make mistakes.
Yeah, you know? Try comparing his tweets to Trump and then come back.
Really? Oh. And, you know, yeah, of course, there's always going to be, you know, things we disagree with each other on, as is normal kind of thing. So, you know, I won't defend every single word, and I don't worship him or anything like that. But yeah, I'll defend him.
Yeah, and that's
absolutely.
The thing that people that are religious always get, we accuse us of, that we have our high priests in atheism. That's not true.
No.
We have people that we agree with.
Not
100% of the time. We don't agree with them because they're some kind of head of
something.
Yeah, it's
not an argument from authority. It's because their ideas have merit.
And we disagree with them as well. What they say is not doctrine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm thinking of Jordan Peterson. Like there's a lot I don't agree with him on.
Oh,
but
God, yeah.
I would certainly defend his right to, you know. Yeah, I defend him too. You know, I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but
He's kind of gone religious. He's kind of gone
religious.
Well,
yeah, he always was, you know, and he's a Freudian, obviously, and stuff like that. So there's plenty to criticize him on. But I, you know, let the man speak.
Freudian? I didn't know that. No.
Yeah,
I thought Freud was pretty much gone out of the.
I think more Jungian. I think more Jungian than Freudian.
Jungian.
But he, you know, often refers to like archetypes and this sort of, you know, the language that's associated with Jungianism for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So this is not a good thing. And again, it's more of the silencing of voices because hurt feelings. Like,
this idea that words are violence.
Oh, yeah. That's
really?
That postmodernist.
Here we are
thing.
Changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the dregs of postmodernism.
I think it's a new thing, isn't it? I don't know if it's a dreg. I think
it's been relatively new.
Is it old?
The first I heard of it was with when Jordan Peterson was debating some gender studies guy.
Okay. Yeah.
The Ontario television, and Oh, that's words are violence. I'm not calling people by their preferred pronouns is violence, and I'm just like, what? That's not violence.
Yeah.
You don't know what violence means if that's the case. You're making up. You know, you're expanding the meaning of the word violence to the point of meaninglessness. Stop it. You know, just cut that out.
Yeah.
And it hurts people who actually have suffered real violence.
Absolutely.
What do you mean by violence?
I often wonder how, like, Holocaust survivors, and I know there are very few left or whatever, right? But how they feel when the word Nazi gets tossed around so incredibly loosely.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And white supremacist and this kind of thing, right?
Well, the whole armchair comic book philosophy, if we punched a Nazi back, if we punched Hitler back then, there'd be no Holocaust. I mean, nonsense.
It might have been worse.
Exactly.
You would have been dumped into the group. You would have been thrown in the gas chamber, too.
Yeah, they're taking the wrong lesson from the from
history.
Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. They're actually acting wrongly. And as
well, they're becoming the fascists themselves, if we talk about, Antifa.
Yeah.
They are
what they hate. And it's weird. It's just weird. But it's this more of this binary black and white thinking that and this idea that if you don't agree with me, then you must be some heinous monster.
And then you become the monster yourself is, you know, kind of the, I don't know who said that or whatever, but, you know, the tyrant becomes the oppressed becomes the oppressor,
It's like Islam itself. Islam, okay, you know, there's the Mecca period where Muslims were getting the crap kicked out of them, and it was peaceful. Well, it was peaceful because they couldn't do anything about it, right? The moment the Medina period happened, and all of a sudden it became very violent because all of a sudden he found himself in a position of power and can do violence to people who didn't think the same. And so it's everywhere.
Yeah. Can you excuse me for like 2-3 minutes?
Sure. You go ahead. We'll keep on going.
Yep. Sounds good. I'll be right back.
Where should we go from here? And I mean, we're going to stick with the regressive left files because what have we got? Oh, new atheists. Do we want to do that first? Do we want to do... I've done the Richard Dawkins thing. I think we'll have to do the new atheist thing, I'm afraid. Okay. Dan Errol, I mean, this is a little soundbite, I think, says it all about Dan Errol. Where are we at here?
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
I love that movie. That's Tropic Thunder.
You'll have to give me some background because I don't know Tropic Thunder.
It's funny. It's a movie about a making of another movie that's about some something that happened in Vietnam War, and it's Ben Stiller. What we heard from there was Robert Downey Jr., who he plays a white Australian actor playing a black guy in blackface.
Oh gosh,
it's absolutely hilarious. Tom Cruise is in it, Michael McConaughey, Nick Nolte, who was acting, but I'm not so sure it was that much acting because it's probably closer to his real character than any of his other roles. It was a really funny movie anyway, but you never go, you get it on Netflix, you can watch it.
Okay.
This is where the whole, you never go full whatever comes from.
Right. So, right.
This is
right.
where the meme comes from. It's and, so this is from the New Arab, some rag in, I guess, in Britain or something. I'll brand that up the window. Here's the title. New Atheists Move from Islamophobia to White Nationalism.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So he writes this article, and it's based on a quote from Sam Harris on one of his podcast. And it's totally taken out of context.
No kidding.
And he was setting up a scenario for Majid Nawaz to respond to. And as a journalist who has no ethics, as far as I could tell, he completely removes that context and just gives the scenario. And here's the, let's see where the quote is. When interviewing, he was always interviewing Charles Murray. who's the author of The Bell Curve. Harris, let's see, what does he say? For better or worse, these are all facts. In fact, there is almost nothing in psychological science for which there is more evidence than for these claims. Okay, that's different. That's not the quote that I'm looking for. Not wanting is no. Is that it?
So who is the quote from? Actually, not. It's not Sam Harris.
Where no, it is Sam Harris. Did? Yeah, it is Sam Harris. But he there's a bit of stuff that's missing from it, and it basically made him sound like a white nationalist. If you do that, but anyway, here, Jerry Coyne caught this, and he said, "I'm going to read the entirety of Jerry Coyne's comment." He said, "For a journalist, you either don't do your research or are deliberately lying. You say this and quote Sam Harris, and here's the quote. Harris even more recently went as far as to ask, what is the some expletive point of having more Muslims in your society? It seems perfectly rational to say we don't want any more. We have enough. And certainly increasing the percentage is not a help to anyone who loves freedom of speech and anything else, any of the other liberal values." Okay. This came during a discussion on his podcast with Muslim reformer Majid Nawaz. During the show, Harris argued that U.S. immigration policy would need to figure out, quote, some way to keep the number of Muslims down in any society, whether we're honest about this or whether we do this covertly. Clearly, it's rational to want to do this, unquote. If you listen to the original podcast, this is Jerry Coyne now, you'd see that this is a hypothetical question that Sam says isn't his view, but poses to Majid Nawaz. It's just a hypothetical.
Hypothetical. How is USA justifying this these bans?
Yeah, exactly. So he says, Dan, you're misrepresenting Harris completely here. And if you did that on purpose, you're a liar. If you did it by quoting secondary sources, you didn't do your homework. So he's basically saying, in either case, he's just crappy.
Because he's trying to say, look at Trump's the racist and trying to. So how is he justifying this? Well, basically, he's Trump and America are putting Muslims all in the same boat as some fundamental Islamists, basically. Not all Muslims are against free speech. Not all Muslims are against,
Not all Muslims are against the ban of immigration.
Not all Muslims are going to behead you for drawing Allah or Muhammad.
Yeah.
So basically, Sam Harris was pointing out the fact that what Trump's doing is racist, and then Trump kind of scapegoats this demographic. So to say this is coming from Harris instead of Harris talking about what's happening in USA is absolutely dishonest.
Yeah. So Jerry's calling out Dan, and somebody said that, remember we were talking with Gleb a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And somebody said that Dan Earle had signed the.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. It turns out
that's not true. Yeah. Okay, so as far as we know, it's not true. But what's funny, I love this, what Dan Earle said. He said, "I never actually signed any pledge as far as I know, and if you have a problem with the article I wrote, I suggest some self-reflection on why their obvious white nationalism doesn't bother you."
Wow.
Okay, we're calling into question the evidence that the evidence that you give for them being white nationalists.
Yeah. And the language too. I mean, you know,
it's
absolutely racism exists, but white supremacy, I mean, that's associated with Nazi Germany and that kind of thing again. Right. And, it does.
Well, there are white supremacists.
Tossing that language. Absolutely.
But it's not Sam Harris. Yeah. Sam Harris is not one.
No. Sam Harris. It's pretty ironic that Sam Harris is pointing out how racist USA is being right now, and yet they're equating that to atheism now because he's pointing it out. So obviously this guy, A, hates atheists, and B, wants to label them all as atheists.
Well, it's kind of he's a self-loathing atheist himself.
It's a U.S. It's a USA issue right now, not an atheist issue. So it's pretty ironic that he's taking something that's happening all over USA right now because of the fucking president and putting it on atheists for crying out loud. Are you going to say that bloody Trump is an atheist then?
Oh, I think he is.
With this kind of ridiculous logic.
I don't think he believes in God for one second.
Fundies won't believe that. They voted for the guy.
Yeah.
So
His God is himself. That's Donald Trump's God.
And money.
Well, same thing.
This is such fucked up logic, this, what this guy has done.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Earle is extremely left wing. And I don't know what his, why he loves Islam so much. I don't understand it. What is it with atheists?
Apparently more
and not
than atheism.
Criticizing Islam.
He'll criticize Sam Harris with bullshit that's actually happening in the USA that Trump is doing.
And manufacture evidence, for that matter. So what is it with Dan Errol and Islam? Yeah. Or C.J. Wurlamin and Islam? What is it with them? Are they closet Muslims?
Well,
or
I think
Islamists?
I don't,
they're certainly giving cover to them.
Despite the fact that we keep saying again and again that it's a different thing to criticize a Muslim than it is
Absolutely.
The religion, Islam. Right? And they just don't seem to understand this point. Oh, it's more nuanced than that. Well, no, it's not really, And they don't listen to the ex-Muslims and the moderates. I mean, look, he's slagging Majid Nawaz here.
Yeah.
I mean, how low can you go?
Oh, really? He's a porch Muslim.
Yeah. You know,
they'll think that's the kind of thinking that goes into it. It's not really a Muslim. Like, well, then what really is a Muslim?
and yet when people like Sam Harris will say, okay, here's the most extreme claims that people actually do believe, that you're taking the most hardcore interpretation of Islam and nobody actually believes that, right?
Oh, you mean like Sunni Islam?
yeah.
You know, one of the most.
If you're moderate, you're a porch monkey. But if you interpret it on the extreme level, then you're you can't do that either, right? You're interpreting like an extremist would. Well, sorry, there's statistics
like a
to
fundamentalist
back that
would.
Like
a fundamentalist. Well, because that's my point.
Say?
Yeah, you said extremist, but I'm saying just a fundamentalist.
So Sam Harris has addressed this one too. Like, nobody's afraid of a fundamentalist Jane.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Become more and less and less violent, right? Yeah.
That's my point. Yeah. These people are actually more true to their religion than the moderates are. And I'm not even sure what a moderate Muslim is, because if you take a look at some of the Pew Research stuff about the number of Muslims that think that apostates should be killed, that gays and lesbians should be killed. Is that moderate? Because that's a pretty sad definition of moderate.
Yeah.
That's not moderate.
And I guess, shall we segue into the birthday celebration?
Birthday
celebration.
Oh,
what the cockroach said.
We could do that. The cockroach, yeah. Where is
recently.
It? Where did I put it? So apparently this week was Assata Shakur's birthday. Shall we go into who Assata Shakur is? She was is a black supremacist. She was a member of the Black Panther Party as well as the Weatherman Underground, which were both black supremacist movements. They're very violent. They committed bank robberies, bombings, etc. She shot and killed a policeman and was convicted. Subsequently, she escaped, and after a few years of hiding around in the New York area, escaped to Cuba, where she currently resides. This is the woman that Black Lives Matter leaders revere. You know that we have nothing to lose but our change chant.
No.
That is straight from Assata Shakur, and they revere her to a person. They won't tell you who she, like the grassroots, they won't tell the grassroots who this person is, but they revere her. But in this case, now Linda Sarsour is one of the prime movers in the women's, I agree with the women's march, except for the, the whole hijab thing that happened last year.
And I also wasn't impressed that they turned away the pro-lifers,
people. I mean, they're women too.
Anti-choice, I guess. Yeah, exactly.
And they're affected by Trump too. They're affected by Trump too. But the thing is, they don't have the right narrative, right? They don't have the right beliefs. And so, of course, there's a strong association with the leaders of the Women's March and the Black Lives Matter, which is obvious from this tweet, wishing Assata Shakur a happy birthday. I mean, they got a ton of tweets like, what the hell are you doing? You know who Assata Shakur is, right? She was a terrorist. She's a terrorist. That's all there is. And yeah, so happy birthday to the revolutionary Assata Shakur. So one of the things they later tweet, they said, well, we can agree with her struggle if we don't agree with her methods. What? I guess we could say similar. You could easily put Hitler in there and say, well, yeah, we agree with some of the things that Hitler said, but not with his methods. Sorry for the Godwin's law.
Yeah.
She's on the FBI's most wanted list.
Yes, she is. She is still on the FBI's most wanted list. And yeah. I was hoping with the thawing of relations with Cuba in the Obama administration that they would send that bitch home. Put her. Nothing infuriated more. There was a guy that went on to the Daily Show. He had was a black author, and he had a shirt, "Welcome Masada Home," on it. And wow. I was just like, "You fucker!" Seriously. I mean, like, that just infuriated me. This is a woman who had thought nothing of killing a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what grievances she had; those are totally erased by what she did. I just don't.
Well, yeah, it's just like those people that are anti-choice. They blow up abortion clinics and kill.
I don't care, but
the people inside.
Yeah.
I mean, once you start killing people, you've crossed a line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, I mean, we lost the argument long before that.
You're not killing people that lynched black people. You're killing people that actually protect people. And unless you can tell me that officer killed a black person without any due recourse, then there's no reason to go around killing people like that.
Yeah, I mean,
and even still, that's not how we handle justice. We don't go around killing cops, even if they have committed, you know, atrocities or whatever, right? That's not how we handle it. I mean, that's not how a civil society works.
Civil change, societal change can take time. And if you're not happy with that, well, just work harder. But believe me, this is why I find the Overton window theory to be very naive, because it's people like Assata Shakur that should be pulling the window that direction. But if anything, it keeps it from moving that direction.
Yeah, she slams the door in the face of other black people trying to make progress.
Yeah.
By becoming a terrorist. You're just not doing it. Like, I'm getting a little sick. Every month I come across people saying that all white people are racist because they have privilege. No, that's not how it works. I might have some white privilege, but not all rich people are bigots. Not all rich people are going to hurt poor people. Like, look at Bill Gates. But then you look at people like Trump. Are you going to say suddenly all rich guys are like Trump? No. So you're going to tell me as a white person, I'm automatically racist because I have white privilege. No, that's not it. And now you're slamming the door in my face to being on your side as well. And yet you'll side with a terrorist that kills people. I'm feeling like I keep getting slapped in the face. When I'm one of the biggest people that will stand up for everyone, especially the underdog. And I acknowledge that I do have some white privilege, but I don't acknowledge that I'm a racist.
Yeah, and I can even understand like that racial bias is probably innate. Like I've told you guys this story about when I had Kara, the woman who ended up sharing my room was a woman I went to high school with. So and black, right? And so about 4 months after the fact, maybe a little bit longer than that, in around there anyway, she and I decided to get together and you know, have a coffee and catch up and that kind of thing, right? And her baby had only been around black people with the exception of her father. So that baby took one look at me and just like freaked. And, and my friend said, I'm sorry, she just hasn't seen any white people except for her father, right? So I'm like, no problem.
But I will not side with the KKK before I side with a black person. I am old. I'm old enough to know the distinction. Here. I will not look at a resume and then change my mind when they walk into the office as to a black versus a white person. Because I'm an adult, I'm a thinking human being, I will look at the credentials over, but they're saying no, you will automatically take a white person.
Yes, that's the identity politics that needs to be killed.
You're creating an enemy of me now. When you keep telling me I'm innately racist, you're looking at me and hating me and accusing me of something that I don't do just because I'm white. I'm getting insulted as human being. I get called ignorant because I'm white. I don't know their struggle. I don't know exactly their struggle. I haven't walked into an office and had a person not hire me because I'm white, but I've had someone not hire me because I'm a woman. I've had someone not hire me because I'm not married. I've had someone not hire me because I'm a single parent. I'm not completely ignorant. So to get accused of that constantly lately, I'm getting a little fed up. And yet you'll defend this terrorist that kills people. You'll put that killer above me in your eyes? Thanks. That's a little insulting.
Feisty. Okay.
That's well articulated, I'd say, you know. Yeah.
I'm mad.
Yeah, no, it's the whole identity politics thing that that just has to die. It's just stop. I mean, when somebody says that, you know, oh, you're a white male. Yeah, I am. What's your point? And it's like I said about that one, when I was commenting on a TEDx talk, somebody thought that the wage gap would go away if everybody's pay was transparent. And I'm like, no. No, that's not how the wage gap works. But even beside the point, I was told that I was sexist and what was I told? It was
automatically sexist.
says the white guy. I think that was what it was. And yeah. Somebody says that's racist and sexist, and I'm like, yes, because that opens the door. And she said, well, what is it? Is it sexist and racist to try and fact change? And I'm saying, nope. You're sexist and racist because you think that my being white and a man, my opinion doesn't matter. That was the last I heard from her.
Right.
But I'm like, thank you to that other person.
she puts that on you. She automatically, these people put this on us. They look at us and they suddenly stereotype us, and where they're asking us not to stereotype them.
Yeah.
Hypocrite.
Which we haven't done for ages, like decades.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, okay, I'm not going to say that there's certainly an element of racism and sexism and blah, blah, blah kind of thing, but there's also been a lot of progression.
Yeah, I'm an individual. Look at me, what I say first before judging me.
Yeah, it's not the frickin' 50s.
And I will do the same
50s.
For you. Yeah.
It's not the 50s anymore.
If you do the same for me. But now we need some give and take.
Yeah, yeah. If you listen to these people, we're still in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the image they're trying to project. Garbage. No.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Things have changed. They are still changing. Ugh. But no, we have the struggle. We have so far to go. Oh, fuck.
Well, we do. Yes, but I'm in it with you. When these guys are making Make Alberta Great Again hats, the fucking rebel media guys.
Oh, God.
Guys,
oh, no. Oh,
I'll be the first person to say, what is that? To someone. I won't touch them.
Oh, isn't it?
I won't take it off their head.
Thank you, the left.
What is this?
Thank you, left.
I will say something.
The left is to blame. I really do believe the left is to blame for this.
Well, we have guys like I showed you that run around with Confederate flags in red.
Yeah, I was really shocked to learn that today as you know, holy crap. Like, where the hell do you think you are? What? That makes no sense.
I can go on any Red Deer street, especially downtown or in North Red Deer, and there will be someone with the Confederate flag on their front license plate or a Confederate flag on their window of their truck in the back, or taking those Confederate flags to rallies against the NDP or anti-carbon tax rallies and all this other stuff. I will fight. I will stand up. I will say something. Like, people complain to the city, and the city, we got them to take that down. We don't agree with that. We're inclusive. People are fighting these people, and we can't fight them with fists. Or yes, we become the terrorists too. But we are standing up against them. There's not enough black people to stand up for them here. So us white people are actually standing up against white people. We're not laying back and saying, oh,
yay, Confederate flags. Yeah, I can't imagine that flying here in Calgary, and you're only an hour and a half away.
Yeah. Well, it's totally, it's getting worse, and I am complaining about it. I am showing you.
Yeah,
I am. If anyone's wearing those hats, if they come out of their truck, I will say something, but I won't touch them. I will confront it. But if you start telling me I'm racist just for being white, I'm going to stop, because then what am I doing?
Well, alienating potential allies is what's going on, right?
Exactly. Why would I go fight for you if you're just going to assume I'm one of those people I despise?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, people that have no experience in that realm will jump in and protect, right? Like, again, with this Islamophobia thing, is it's a naive, you know, we can all agree that there's absolutely anti-Muslim bigotry.
Yeah.
But when you start slinging around the term Islamophobe, then you know that there's a political agenda behind it and that kind of thing, right?
Particularly when it comes to people like Sam Harris, that'll be the first person to stand up for Muslims.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that was exactly it. When on that Dan Earl story from the New Arab, I posted it. You know, I got to the Islamophobia part, and that was it. And somebody said,
pretty much.
What somebody said was, oh, so you don't believe in anti-Muslim bigotry? And I'm like, yeah, I do. That exists. Yeah. But there's already a term for it. It's called anti-Muslim bigotry. And you used it.
Yeah.
There is no Islamophobia.
I have to step away for a couple of minutes again.
Sure. That's a made-up word. It's contrived, and it's contrived for a purpose, unlike anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism means what, you know, anti-Jew, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know, I guess anti-Semitism is, it comes off the tongue better. But that's what it means. That's fine. It's not the same. It's not an analogous word to Islamophobia. Islamophobia is much broader. And anybody who says anything bad about Islam is called an Islamophobe. Well, you know, I don't care. Slap me with the label. I just don't care because I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know how false it is.
It's like talking about some aspects of Christianity.
Sure, it's exactly the same thing.
And then calling me anti-Christian.
Yeah, you're not a Christianophobe, like, are you?
No, I don't hate all Christians. I don't. My own son is a bloody Christian, for crying out loud.
Oh, well, that's too bad. I blame the parents.
Well, he believes in God, so he believes in the Christian God. He's a Christian. I obviously didn't bring him up to hate Christians if he's going to be one. But I will say, even to him, what's wrong with some aspects of Christianity, and he doesn't care.
Well, that's a problem, because everybody should care. You can't gloss those over.
He doesn't care that I do it. He doesn't call me a Christianphobe. He agrees with me, I mean.
Well, then, yeah.
He doesn't care that I have issue with some aspects of Christianity, and he understands I don't have an issue with all Christians or him.
Yeah.
So...
Well, there's
that distinction. It's the
same. Some sign that things are changing in Britain. There's the first Muslim gay wedding actually occurred there.
Right.
This is from the Telegraph, which is a hell of a lot better than the usual gays being thrown off rooftops.
Yeah.
And please don't say that's just Islamists and you know, because the people living in these largely Muslim countries would be quite okay with the execution of gays and lesbians. So,
as well as Chechnya.
Chechnya is terrible. But that's, again, a largely Muslim country. That's a sign of I wonder what Anjum Chowdhury would say about this. He's probably going apoplectic in prison right now over this.
Well, what did I miss?
Oh, we're just talking about the first openly Muslim wedding.
Wedding.
It says here Jahed Chowdhury, 24, grew up feeling ostracized because he was gay. Aren't you kidding? And that's not even anywhere near as strong a word as I would think would apply to somebody who's Muslim and gay. I mean, I really think that was the primary issue in the Orlando shooting. That caused, you know, that cognitive dissonance led that Muslim man to shoot all those people at the gay nightclub at the, what was it called again? The name escapes me. Doesn't matter. After a lifetime of bullying that led him to attempt to take his own life, 19-year-old Sean Rogan found him crying on a beach. Now they're married. Huh, interesting. So, I'd say match made in heaven, but it's actually more like a match made in hell. But it turned out fine. It turns out good. I hope that marriages last a long time.
Hope they don't get killed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I hope that they don't get killed for it too, because now they're known. Somebody might have a hit out on them.
They have to understand that their lives are at risk. I hope.
Which is completely sad. Like, it just breaks my heart just knowing that.
So this guy, Chowdhury, he'd attended this particular mosque for 15 years, and they no longer allowed him in. And he was physically attacked by other Muslim boys. And this is what religion leads you to do.
Yeah.
You know? It's awful. It's a sad
justify.
But maybe, hopefully, it's a happy ending.
Well, yes, if they convert to atheism, because that would be.
I'd even be happier, but yeah.
Not that I want to change people's opinion. But, you know, really, like, come on. Why do you want to participate in a religion that shits on you like that?
Then, of course, there's the liberal mosque in Berlin that gets death threats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to admit, this kind of is maybe hope. You know, there's some signs. I think that the exposure of Islam to Western values will eventually change it. It's going to take a long time, but it will, I think, destroy the, you know, the harsher forms like Sunni Islam or Wahhabi, that kind of thing.
Well, they are kind of imploding as it is. They have civil wars where they are, so.
Yeah, well, if you listen to Linda Sarsour, it's all about American foreign policy. But of course, that doesn't explain the previous
the
few hundred years before that, where they were enslaving.
Did we cover this, like, she said something about waging jihad against Trump recently too? Holy wow!
And of course she's saying that that just means that it's a struggle. And,
The implications.
You might want to be a little more clear.
With the implications of her languages.
Yeah, she knows.
My gosh.
She knows.
R is whatever.
She did She did this to get a sucker punch, she scored some points
to create drama to further her. As she accuses others of doing.
Yeah.
Hypocrite.
Let's face it, though, the tweets from her past are coming back to bite her in the ass.
Good,
Her anti-Semitic tweets. She's very pro-Hamas.
Against Ayaan Hirsi Ali and saying she shouldn't have a... Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah. She's not a feminist, folks. She's not a feminist.
No.
She's a faux feminist.
Yeah. I repeat my challenge to Linda Sarsour, and that is, if you think that wearing hijab is a sign of modesty and self-respect, which of course implies that women who don't have much self-respect and modesty. If we're talking about real feminism, you would take your hijab off publicly and loudly in support of women in the Middle East who can't. I mean, she can't say, well, that's over there, et cetera. She's already very pro-Hamas and very anti-Israeli. So that's over there too, Linda. So take off your hijab and I might have some respect for you. But I don't expect to see it anytime soon because she agrees with it. I believe she agrees that all women must wear the hijab. Otherwise, you're immodest and have no self-respect.
Yeah, judgy.
Oh, totally.
If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would suggest that she'd been kind of planted somehow in the political discourse in the U.S.
That isn't far from the truth, I don't think. She is very much engaged in the Dawah, which is apologetics, and making Islam palatable to
Westerners. Like the Muslim Brotherhood, where does that tie in to your relationship?
Yeah, she has associations with people who were involved in the plotting to bomb the World Trade Buildings, the original bombing attempt. I think that's what it was.
Wow.
So there, she has ties to that, and of course CARE is very they probably invented the word Islamophobia. They was probably trying to figure out a way, how do we keep people from talking about the bad parts of Islam and make it more palatable for people. I don't know.
Remind me what conspiracy theory stands for again.
I can't remember. American Islamic Relations.
Yeah.
Okay. Committee for Arab American Islamic Relations, I think. Something like that.
Okay. Of course, it's something different in Red Deer. It's just simply like an agency that helps immigrants here in Red Deer. So.
Yeah. Well, there's also this organization, this anti-Muslim one. That's a very different thing. They're anti-Muslim. They're not just anti-Islam. The downtown thing that I went to to watch.
Yeah.
I can't remember that organization. Anyway, those people are not helping. making it easier for, organizations like CARE and stuff like that because they get sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no truck with either Christianity or Islam. I don't want them both. I want neither.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to force anybody to make that change.
Yeah, you know what? If you keep it to yourself and it, entices you to do good in this world, I have no problem with that. But if you're, trying to enact it in public political life and that kind of thing and force it upon other people, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because we're all religion, not just one.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Because it's segregation then, and then it becomes also, then it's just an excuse to stomp on others.
Yeah. Well, the in-group, like out-group mentality, right?
Yeah. And how is that progressive? Some people just want to drag us back to the 1800s or the dark ages.
Well, then there are people who are anti-free speech and they want to go back to 1700s. And then they've got Islamists who want to take us back to 1400 and or even earlier. That's regressive, folks. That's what we call them. Definition. Regressive. And then the left aids and abets, right? They I don't know why. I have no idea why. Not all the left, but a lot of people on the
because
left.
Of rhetoric and propaganda, essentially, right?
It's yeah,
propaganda.
That, well, that's what, yeah, it is yeah. propaganda. Yeah. Care is all about propaganda.
And if you think propaganda just involves your own country trying to, you know, enact messages of support, and then it can't be imported from other, you know, places into our culture, then that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like, persuasion is a powerful tool, and propaganda doesn't just come from our own governments. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into some good news, can we? NHS plans to scrap homeopathy treatments.
Yay.
So, Britain, congratulations. Now, can you get rid of those damn homeopathy hospitals?
Yeah.
So they figure they're going to save £200 a year by ending what the head of the service calls a, quote, misuse of scarce, unquote, NHS funds. Yeah, that's the problem the world over in first world countries. Healthcare is just skyrocketing. Well, half the Alberta budget goes into healthcare. Mm-hmm. Half the budget. It's huge.
Huge. Not just salaries. Bigly. Of doctors, but the equipment investment and that kind of thing too, right? Like that equipment's not cheap.
Well, it's not just,
and they
yeah.
still are hospitals and it's still life saving money yeah. for equipment.
Yeah.
And congratulations, no more homeopathy. I mean, that if anything increases healthcare costs, I don't think it's just a waste. It's worse than a waste.
Yeah, exactly. It'll make conditions worse until they need like surgery or
yeah, and they'll pay
dying.
For both. So they'll pay for what makes them makes things worth
makes them sicker,
time,
and then
and then pay for the cure. Right? So you got. It's coming and going.
Not to mention, like, it's intervention into early detection in a lot of cases too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, look what happened with
which is very
Steve
dangerous.
Jobs. Steve Jobs is the poster boy for that, right?
Yeah.
And he'd probably be alive today if he had just gotten the gold standard treatment.
Yeah.
So
instead of waiting until he was full of cancer, a lot of people don't seem to understand what cancer is. So they don't understand why you have to catch it. There's a reason why you got to catch it earlier before it actually spreads to places like the brain. You can't chop out chunks of the brain and be fine after. You got to catch it where, you know, it's okay to, you know, take out chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if it starts in the brain,
John McCain has been recently
diagnosed with brain cancer.
I think it was a glioblastoma, if I remember correctly. Which is a pretty bad one. You know, there's not any good ones. There are some.
Is that what Hitch died of? Is that the same cancer?
No. Hitch died of esophageal cancer. Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
It probably spread to the brain.
No.
That's what I thought.
Esophageal is very low survival rate.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Yeah. But why? Because it spreads or because it just eats up the esophagus?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because you can replace an esophagus.
Yeah, I don't know but it's very low. I just know it's a low survival rate.
The way he smoked, I'm not really that surprised.
Oh, and drank. Yeah, smoking and drinking did not do him good.
he chain smoked.
And chain drank.
And chained. Like, yeah. I was like, wow.
He was always, that's like on Bullshit, where he was. They had to catch him in between drinks of whiskey, basically. Like, it was pretty funny.
There's a story that Penn Jillette tells about inviting Christopher Hitchens to his home, and he had brought like with him some booze
because
Penn doesn't drink
Yeah.
So Christopher politely left the bottle in the front yard or whatever, right?
Here's something from we're gonna just slip into this one.
It's now time for the Legion of Reason's Catholic Watch.
Catholic Watch, and this is from the Catholic Herald. Vatican court rejects motion to dismiss hospital case. Now, this is just, I don't know what to say. I mean, first of all, why is this in a Vatican court? I mean, why is there such a thing as a Vatican court for this kind of crime?
That's like Sharia law.
Yeah.
Well, I looked it up, and it says that the Vatican court refuses to stop the embezzlement case.
Which is kind of weird because it's ruling on its own jurisdictional extent. it's like asking, asking homeopaths to rule on the efficacy of homeopathy. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the hospital president, he's actually a former president now, Giuseppe Profiti. Now, isn't that a neat name for an embezzlement case? Profiti. It's got the word profit. You can't spell Profiti without profit. And ex-treasurer Massimo Spina argued that the Vatican Court had no jurisdiction to prosecute activities of a hospital foundation that was in Italy but not in Vatican. So what these guys did is they embezzled funds, and they were caught a couple of years ago. They embezzled funds from donation. It was a donating fund that where cash was donated to fund the renovation of a senior cardinal's apartment. Wow. and then they say religion makes for better people. I don't think so. 422,000 euros.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, 300,000 of his own money for the work because he couldn't find anyone else to pay and didn't know that the foundation had also paid 422,000 euros to the same builders. Like, holy man, what? Jesus, what is this place? Is it like a castle?
Yeah, no kidding.
Condo, that's my ass. Much. This guy's
very luxurious.
Gold plated condo apartment that Trump would live in.
I want to see pictures of the apartment. I'm putting that in scare quotes because it's like, give me a break. I mean, what is this place? Cardinal Bertone, the former Vatican Secretary of State, wasn't charged or placed under investigation in the case. After the scandal broke in 2015, Bertone made a €150,000 donation to the hospital for research. He couldn't pay for the... never mind. They probably embezzled that money, too. Okay. Yeah. I mean, where did he get the $150,000 from? It's just a gong show. You know, the Vatican Bank has been implicated in a lot of money laundering. They've been shut down by Interpol. Heavily investigated. I mean, the whole place is a mess. It's rife with corruption. The Curia, the Vatican Bank, everything. Just a total mess.
Are we surprised?
Yeah, if you want to read
Children's Hospital, too.
Yeah, it's a children's hospital they embezzled money from. Like,
yeah, that's oh, God.
that's bad as just Trump's taking money away from kids with cancer.
Yeah.
Well, he did. They did. I mean, some of those kids had cancer, I'm sure. it just boggles the mind. I mean, they thought this is okay. Oh, we'll just put the
money back in there. Well, I guess the justification was, he would be willing to hold fundraisers at his home once it's renovated, right?
Yeah, no kidding. They could rent it out.
To give it back.
yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
It's quite the... Yeah, I'd love to see pictures of his apartment. I mean... apartment. I don't believe it's an apartment. No.
It's probably like the one that Trump lives in with the gold-plated toilets and gold ceilings. That St. Petersburg castle is the same. Like, if you ever go there, it's like in Russia. I mean, if you're elite, you've got to have the best.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in this guy's apartment is in Architectural Digest or something.
Yeah, probably has gold-plated statues.
Jesus, gold-plated Jesus.
Yes.
So we go from that story to a sadder story. CNN. Hundreds of German choir boys allegedly abused, reports. And by the way, the brother of the last Pope, ex-Cardinal Ratzinger, now ex-Pope Benedict, his brother was involved a little bit in this for slapping around kids. So 547 is what the count is now. Students of this Catholic choir school, Regensburger Domspatzen, I hope I'm pronouncing that even remotely correctly, and it's in Bavaria, and it's over a period of 70 years. But how does this kind of thing stay hidden for 70 years?
Well, doesn't religion actually push the corporal punishment angle?
Aren't Christian homes
more likely to spank than an atheist home?
Probably.
They justify it through the Bible, don't they?
They justify everything they do with the Bible. I mean, you can
do
that.
Where does spare the rod spoil the child come from, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's corporal punishment, right? So this was a 440-page report, and albeit it was It was commissioned by the Regensburg Diocese. Okay, so they did something good, even though they'd like 70 years too late. So these kids are like 8 to 11, and they're boarded. And so that even the latest victims are from 2015, and it was corporal punishment. 67, that's what the number was. 67 were victims of sexual abuse.
Yeah.
That many of them called the time there as the worst of their lives, marked by violence, fear, and helplessness. Reasons for physical violence were misconduct or poor performance of the students, but also arbitrariness by the educators. So they, just because, basically. There was Ratzinger, this George Ratzinger, who's the brother of the ex-Pope Benedict, apologized to the victims in a newspaper interview at the time. He was a former musical director there, but he wasn't aware of any sexual abuse. However, Ratzinger admitted he too slapped children as discipline. He says, "I did have a very bad conscience doing it, though." Yeah, he felt really bad, but it was for their own good.
Kids were taught, you know, that they're being pious and next to Jesus if they got harmed, like if they wore a crown of thorns like Jesus did, or if they flagellated themselves, like hit themselves. I thought self-harm was advocated as well.
I don't know about here, but
And some of the
Islam does that.
South American countries does.
Yeah.
It's a thing with Christianity as well.
Yeah.
Self-flagellation.
In Philippines, it's quite common around Easter to, you know, somebody gets put nailed to a cross.
Yeah, nailed.
And the church they don't like that too much. I think it's even too much for them, which is saying a lot. it's a lot of it is because there's a mix of local and religions with the colonial Catholic religion. Get weird things going on. Like voodoo is another one. It's a mix of African and Christian faiths.
No, I think it's Obeah that's the fusion of voodoo with Christianity.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because, you know, there's definitely saints in there. But, this report's coming out. More and more, this is just going to keep coming out. It's not isolated to the United States.
No, and it's very justified. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I mean, I grew up with it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not surprised to hear that this would happen in a school. I mean, they don't know how else to discipline.
Yeah. That's the sad thing is that it's no surprise, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was taught how to discipline. I mean, make the kid accountable. Sit him down on a chair and make him sit there 10 minutes and then tell me why they're there and why they should apologize. I mean, I didn't have to hit my children. Plus, there's another component of actually rewarding them when they're for good behavior. I had a chip system where when I caught them being good, they got bingo chips and could store up the bingo chips as currency towards certain things. Well, yeah, you got to do both. You can't just say you're bad all the time. You need the good too.
Yeah.
So, but do you see the church doing that?
Yeah.
No.
I
don't know what they're doing now, behaviors, but obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one when more little story here. Sorry. I'll go ahead before we.
No. I see people making a lot of mistakes with that in their home too. I mean, I was brought up that way. I had to be taught how to parent another way. I would have been doing the same thing otherwise. So.
I use a water pistol.
And the cat.
Actually, I don't.
They're not really children, but.
I don't use a water pistol on them.
Okay.
I wish sometimes I did have one.
Sometimes, too. Like if a strange one wanders into your yard and they start fighting, that's pretty much how you break it up, right? Like it's not the nicest thing in the world.
Does this happen often down your way?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of, because, I have a new tenant and she's got two cats. I've got a cat. The guy downstairs has a cat.
Oh, you're talking about cats. Okay, I thought you were talking about people.
Okay.
I was like, you're in a rough neighborhood.
Well, you don't have kids. You didn't have kids, so I assumed you were talking about your cat.
No, of course I'm talking about my cats.
Yeah.
They're spoiled. Our cats are spoiled. They're terrible.
Okay, case in point.
They look very spoiled and very happy.
Yeah.
This day home I put my son in, she had a water bottle. She would do that to her cats. But she did it to the kids too. My son, after I put him there, would not take a bath.
Oh.
She was doing that to the kids too. She was making my 1-year-old son hate water. So I had to take him out of the day home.
Wow.
I take it your kid still doesn't shower, huh?
Oh, yes. Now he's fine. He was only one at the time. But he would scream as soon as I put him near water after he started going there. And then he was fine after I took him out.
He could have had rabies, you know.
She was teaching him. What?
He could have had rabies, you know. Afraid of water. But, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't foaming at the mouth, but I guess. Anyway, this is one last little story here. New research. This is from the Catholic News Agency. New research. Shroud of Turin bears blood of a torture victim.
Oh, God.
So, okay.
I guess wasn't Jesus tortured, for crying out loud?
Well, okay. Let's get to that a little later. So this is from Turin, Italy. Of course, this is a Shroud of Turin. One of many shrouds, by the way, that were done with period.
Okay.
And we've already shown how it can be done with period tools. Joe Nickel did this.
I actually thought of
getting him on for this.
We should have him on.
This is a new method for analysis. They use something, where was it called? It was some kind of an electron... bombardment thingy. They were looking at nanoparticles, and the nanoparticles are not typical of the blood of a healthy person. What? Rather, they show high levels of substances called creatinine and ferritin found in patients who suffer forceful multiple traumas like torture. This is what they think. I have to get the original paper, but I don't buy it.
Obviously,
yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, the blood is very old, and there's lots of things that can happen to it in the meantime. Mm-hmm. It's I can't find the analysis technique they were using. These findings could only be revealed by the methods recently developed in the field of electron microscopy. And electron microscopy has been around for quite a while.
How many people did they torture in the past? Like, a lot. It could be anyone.
Where did they get the blood samples for their non-control?
Yeah.
What do they do? Let's get one of those immigrants in here and let's put them on the rack and then take some blood.
Maybe there's a body of knowledge that exists already or something like that.
From like Nazis or something.
It might be Giordano Bruno's blood or something. They probably have that on hand somewhere. Oh, yeah. Let's go into the files and grab a vial of his blood. Before we burned the stake for heresy.
That's a good control. Yes, I'm sure it exists.
Yeah, you need something to compare it to, right? I mean, what did they compare it to?
Where did they get their tortured paper. Individual? But, you know, really the way the fucking Nazis were doing their human torture experiments and stuff, who knows, right?
Well, there were lots of Vatican officials that were complicit with the Nazis, so.
Yeah.
Not very many who weren't. But that's all I got.
Yeah, that's a lot. And eventually, I'll get unpacked here. And
that's right. You're in your new place, and you were on a cruise. Tell us about the cruise.
Yeah,
you were on a cruise in the Baltic.
The cruise in the Baltic, of course, was skeptic. So of course, it was amazing.
Was anybody anybody we'd know?
Of course, Jeff Wagg. Do you know Jeff Wagg?
No, I don't actually.
And I really? Oh, he puts them all together. So if you look at College of Curiosity, you'll find these cruises, and he puts them on. Of course, I know everybody from the amazing meetings.
Yeah.
So of course, I knew most of the people who went, and the first stop, of course, was Iceland for me, and several people met there, so I got to go on an Iceland tour, which was pretty amazing. I didn't know Iceland was growing at the extent that it was. Like, it's got a lot of activity
new
on there,
islands.
Of course, but
lots of new. Circe's a new island, I mean.
And in the middle of Iceland, even it's being pushed. It's getting bigger, like right in the middle. Like, there's a lot of activity, like right smack in the middle of the island too. So Iceland's getting bigger. It'll probably be, who knows? It might be one of the biggest continents one day. Then Sweden is interesting. The one I like the most was Estonia. Because they have some well-preserved old city parts from the Middle Ages and such. And they're just, it's really neat. It's like walking around in the Game of Thrones, which to say that the area I went in around Reykjavik and stuff on that tour of Iceland as well is a lot of Game of Thrones was filmed in the areas that I got to see in Iceland too. So But no, these are beautiful places with a lot of history, and all the buildings, like even, which country was it? I'm starting to mix them all up. I think it was Finland. There was a bank, and they'd fixed the bank, but they left the statue out front. It was pelted with Nazi bullets. Yeah. So it's got bullet holes and chunks of it missing because of the way the Nazis, when they rolled in, they shot everything up. But the buildings, everything has statues and such. But I was afraid of Russia, of course, because Russia to me, yeah, I don't know if you have to watch. But do you know how much the people in Russia love Trump? There were people, wow, Russian people wandering around wearing shirts saying,
well, they love Putin. I mean,
they love Putin. They love Trump. Yeah. And there's these, you know, those Russian dolls.
Yeah, the I can't remember what
the ones that fit into each other.
Yeah, there's Putin and Trump ones together for sale in the stores.
That's wrong.
Well, wrong. There's pictures, but yeah, they love
cultural
Trump
appropriation.
Yes.
Porn.
But there's Russia loves Trump. Like I can't even. But the funny thing is, you go to their extravagant tourist places like St. Petersburg Castle, like the castle of, I think it was Alexander the Great, and then Catherine the Great, and all of these beautiful, huge, like, they would be places that Trump would love to live.
Did you go to the Hermitage?
No, I did not.
Or is that
our groups,
Moscow?
Our tours were, like, we had one day in each port, so they were very, very organized, very... But you know the great chain, I don't even know how to describe this. We then go to that souvenir shop where they have all these little dolls and stuff with Trump and Putin, and you know what? They had no power. All the castles
had
power.
What do you mean power?
They had no power. The power
like
was
electricity?
Out.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So you look at the extravagance, and then you look at the poor saps that live there. Like, most people don't own land there. They don't own their own land. Like, everything's state-controlled. There's some people starting to own land, but, of course, it would be the oligarchs and such, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah. Rich.
There's still great poverty there, and even the shop owners, they don't own the shop. They probably rent the space from the frickin' state, and they don't even have power. We were shopping by flashlight. So
unreal.
The great difference between, you know, oh, look at this, and she, the our tour guide knew the history, and she seemed very esteemed of the former royalty and the current government, and she, but no one, they love Trump there. That blew my mind. But at no time did I feel unsafe, but I saw that difference. Like, even the cars that people, like, you could see they were still using old rail cars and the rail systems that people rode on that looked like they were from, like, the 1920s plus some new ones. There's a great disparity between the old and new there still, like, and what citizens have versus what the oligarchs have. You know, there's huge disparity. So...
Oh. Sounds cool.
It's cool, but you feel sorry for the citizens living there. But the fact that that's what they know and that's what they worship, and you know, it was very strange. And going through, you to get into Russia, you had to go through these, you had to get a piece of paper stamped and everything else. And what you do is you go in these long lineups and you give the person your passport. They don't say anything to you. They kind of look at you and they give you this piece of paper. And then to come back through, you have to do the same thing, give the piece of paper back. Everywhere else you move freely, like once you get to Sweden, Finland, Estonia, all those places, you could just walk in and walk out, but not in Russia. It was crazy. My mind is kind of expanded with every time I go. Like, I've been to Thailand, I've been to just it makes me feel like my outlook is broadened whenever I visit these different things and have these different experiences. So if you, and the college curiosity at each dinner, he would give us a puzzle and something to work through and all that kind of stuff. Like, he made it a skeptic trip too.
Mm-hmm.
So don't really, I don't know if I can throw any more names at you if you didn't know.
Okay.
The ones I, but yeah, if you look up Jeff Wagon and his wife, they put these trips together, and I go about once every 5 years. So this is my second cruise I've ever been on in my life. And of course, it's much longer than the one I did in the Caribbean with the skeptics when we went to hell. We went to went on these one of these tours with skeptics, and we went to hell on what was it? Oh, terrible with names. Ugh, rats. Anyways, I've gone to hell.
So,
Oh, Cayman Islands, that's it. If you go to the Cayman Islands, you can visit hell. And cool. then you can get, I got hell shot glasses and such. But yeah, this is the second one I've taken. And the last one I took was 2011, and now it's 2017. So it was time I went again.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, nice. But no. It always blows my mind, all these things. So, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, it sounded like a really fun time.
I was distracted by my house buy and sale. I was trying to figure out ways on the ship to print things that I had to sign for my house. I was buying a house and selling a house at the same time. So I was running around, standing in line, trying to get things signed and then scanned back. And communication, of course, on a cruise ship is pretty unlimited. So as soon as we hit a port, I would get all my emails. And it was crazy. Very crazy. But well worth it.
Well, now you're in your new place. And
yeah, I feel like this has been a very strange year of mixed emotions. I've had such good things happen to me. And at the same time, politically, I'm very, So if me personally, it's been a wonderful, wonderful year. So I feel like I've worked my whole life to get to this point, and I finally got something out of it. Like it was a lot of hard work, especially the last 5 years, but I'm finally there and I can finally maybe breathe and devote more time to things I actually want to do.
Cool.
So, and you guys, thank you. Thank you for bearing with me through this, especially the last year.
Yeah, you've been distracted for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think that's it for this evening. I'm just going to sign off and I guess back in a couple of weeks, we'll try and have somebody on, maybe get Joe Nickel on. I like to talk to him about some of these. You know, I've got his book, of course, on relics. It's a good book. Discusses a lot of these old relics and like the Shroud of Turin and the painting of Fatima, that kind of thing. Weeping statues, etc. So, so that's it for tonight, I guess. Where's the new closing? And so. Till then, good night, I guess.
Good night.
You've been listening to The Legion of Reason, coming to you from Calgary, Canada. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please consider reviewing us on iTunes. Music was provided by Dean Morrison and Graham Hill and used with permission.